Can you hear the music, Robert? Yes, I can.
What's your favorite scary movie?
What's the boogeyman?
You're gonna need a bigger potion.
We're gonna press on, and we're gonna have the happiest Christmas.
I live in Notting Hill, you live in Beverly Hills.
Can you introduce me as Joker?
I'll never turn to the dark side.
Enter Benoit Blanc.
I am the father.
I'm your Uncle Buck.
Consider what you're about to do, Paul Atreides.
Silence!
Hi, everybody, and welcome back to Phil at the Movies. I'm your host, Phil Walsh, and this is episode number 121 of this ongoing podcast that is always for the love of movies. And on that note of being for the love of movies, I thought today would be a perfect opportunity to look back on the year so far in film. Believe it or not, we are already 50% through 2024. With July nearly over and August fast approaching, the year is moving along at a record pace, and frankly, this has been a stellar year for movies across the genres. A little bit of horror, a little bit of action adventure, drama. There's a little bit of something for everybody this year. And so now that we're at that midway point, more so at this point in time, I thought it would be a good opportunity to look back on the last 7 months and give you my top four so far favorite films of 2024. Now, full disclosure, this is a subjective list. It's not meant to be comprehensive. It's not meant to be all inclusive. This is my top four favorite films of the year. And I promise in December or in probably the first part of January, actually, when the episode finally drops, but I will do a top 10 of 2024. But this is a little midway point to look back and just pick four films that have really stuck with me during this first half of 2024. And like I said, this has been an incredible year so far, whether you have on the one hand a surprise hit like a movie like Lisa Frankenstein, which I talked about earlier in February, to another film like Longlegs, which I have certainly gushed about on the show last week. There's been a little bit of something for everybody this year, and I've been really impressed with the quality and, more importantly, the diversity of stories. It's not just sort of one particular genre that's dominating the box office or discussion. It's really a little bit of something for everybody. So if you are a movie fan, I guarantee there is certainly one film, if not more, that will be your cup of tea for this year. But any event, wanted to give you my top four so far favorite films of the year. I'm curious also to know what you have for favorite films this year. So here's a little bit of chance for some interaction. Let me know your top four so far of 2024. You can drop a comment either on YouTube or on social media. I'll put out a post when this episode drops. But without any further ado, let me give you my top four so far of the year. All right, here are my four favorite films of the year so far. Number four, Immaculate. Righteously and beautifully blasphemous, this film stars Sydney Sweeney as a nun who goes to a convent in the Italian countryside, and not long after arriving, she finds herself unexpectedly pregnant through what is believed to be an immaculate conception. This film is horrifying, surprisingly topical to our political discourse, particularly with regards to a woman's right to choose. Immaculate does what I think the best horror films can do, which is to push the envelope with being topical. And it's another reason why I love this genre, is because it allows for audiences to engage with a wide range of subjects and topics that otherwise might be taboo in more traditional movies or might come across as preachy. But horror is one of those genres where you can sort of get topical and you can engage with people on a whole other level. And that's another plus for me with this particular genre. But back to this film, It is beautifully shot. There's a haunting creepiness to it right from the start, and it runs all the way through. I'm usually not a fan of these sort of quasi-religious horror films, but this is one that really threads that needle perfectly and creates a film that is both suspenseful and engaging from start to finish. And in addition, there is an incredible performance by Sydney Sweeney. She holds this film together and gives arguably one of the most gut-wrenching displays of acting chops at the end of the film. I won't spoil it if you have not seen the film. I think I sort of alluded to it during my review back a couple months ago, but it is absolutely horrifying. It is memorable in both the worst and best possible way, and it is right up there for being one of the most shocking moments on screen of any film that I have seen this year. Immaculate, to put a finer point on it, is an immaculate film, and it is number 4 for me. All right, that brings me to number 3, and it is Furiosa. This film is the prequel to Mad Max Fury Road, and it stars Anya Taylor-Joy as the younger version of Furiosa, who was originally played by Charlize Theron in the aforementioned Fury Road film. Now, sadly, and this breaks my heart to say it, but sadly, this film was a disaster at the box office. It failed to make any sort of profit. Not that that is everything, but it just did not connect with the larger movie-going audience. But that, as I said, doesn't diminish the film's quality and effectiveness. I think a lot of times audience interest or desire for a film can largely be determinative of its success or failure. And in this particular case, it was definitely the latter and not the former. But for me, I love this film. I mean, I love all of these films I'm going to be talking with you about, but this one in particular, because I love Fury Road, and prequels are sort of tricky because you run that risk of overexposure or, okay, why do we need this story given that what we know happens in the film? This is one of those cases where the prequel really enhances Fury Road, and I would almost say I think I like Furiosa even more than Fury Road. And that doesn't take away from the beauty and the majesty of that film, but this is such a deeply personal film. It's a revenge tale, but it runs much deeper than just a simple exercise in vengeance. There are moments that we see later on in Fury Road that now have tremendous impact and resonance because of this film and the intricate backstory that is being told on screen. I could do an entire episode just talking about Anya Taylor-Joy and her performance in this film. Just, wow, absolutely blown away by it. The teasers don't even do it justice. And what is so remarkable, she has very little dialogue in this film, much like Tom Hardy's character of Max in the Fury Road film. But yet, even with little dialogue, the action and her expressions and just the emotional presence that she has on screen, it is transfixing, and you cannot get it out of your mind when you're watching the film. It's a masterclass in acting, and it really does feel like this is the younger version of the character that we are going to meet later on in the Fury Road film. I also have to give a prop to George Miller, the director, who at 79 is turning out one of the best action films of all time. I mean, he certainly did that with Fury Road. He's done it again with Furiosa. Dazzling special effects, heart-racing moments that only he can bring to screen with such an urgency and poetic agency. I love this film. I truly hope it finds an audience on home release later this summer, because to borrow that word again from my other ranking, this film is also immaculate. All right, so now we're getting to the top two, and this is where things are going to get a little interesting. You can probably guess which one of these films, just based on my gushing, if you will, over the last couple months. So what I'm about to say, I know, may get some eyebrows raised and even some shocks from you, the fellow listeners, but up until recently, this film was my number one of the year so far, but there has been a change. So number two for me is Dune Part 2. what can be said that I haven't already gushed about with regards to this film? It soars leaps and bounds above Dune Part 1. There is a scope to this film that is grander and more dynamic. It has the case for being not only one of the greatest sequels ever made, but it is also a top-shelf worthy science fiction film. From the cast, that includes, in my humble opinion, Oscar-worthy performances across the board, but particularly Timothée Chalamet and Rebecca Ferguson, who I think are the MVPs of this film. The more I revisit it, the more I am just captivated by their two performances, which are totally different, but yet they both give such memorable takes as morally gray individuals who are embroiled in their more or less their own missions, which sometimes overlap but yet have their own different trajectories. And they're both steeped in personal justice and ultimately revenge. Hats off to Denis Villeneuve, the director, who has left an indelible mark on cinema with this film that is bigger, it is better, and it is wiser than its predecessor. It is one of those cases where the sequel is better than the original film, and it's an overused word. I know sometimes it sort of loses its meaning because people throw it around without much thought or consideration, but in this particular context, the only way to talk about Dune Part 2 is to choose to say it is a masterpiece. Pure and simple, it is a masterpiece. I love this film. I could go on for days about it. Long live the fighters and long live Dune Part 2. Bring on Dune Messiah. That's all I want to say. Bring it on sooner rather than later. But that now brings me to my number one film of the year so far. And before I say that, as I alluded to a moment ago, from March on, Dune Part 2 has been the film to beat. And frankly, I expected this film to hold the number one position until at least October, when my most anticipated film, perhaps of the decade, releases, which is Joker Folie à Deux. However, this month, July, I, and probably am giving this away now by alluding to the month, but this month brought a return to form for me. Horror films continue to be a domination at the box office and proving that they are still a mainstay in cinema, which is, again, wonderful for a fan of the genre. And certainly this has been a banner year for horror, again, ranging from the more lighthearted films on the one hand, like Lisa Frankenstein, to the demonically serious and equally delightful film in Late Night with the Devil, which is another movie that I would certainly, I think, will probably be on my top 10 list of the year later on. But there's been a little bit of something for everybody this year, and certainly us horror fans, we're eating good, as they say. It's been a bountiful meal, and the year is not over. And that's what I love about the genre, because you can certainly be captivated by an unexpected film. That's the beauty of it. And in some cases, a simple movie, and I don't mean that as a negative, can come along with a top-notch marketing campaign and an even better story and completely and totally change the game. And that is what brings me to my number one favorite film of the year so far. It is Longlegs. This movie is why I love horror films. And I've already gushed at great length about this film, so I will spare your ears for this particular episode. But just to reiterate, this film is haunting. It is deeply terrifying, with one of the most memorable and creepy horror villains we have seen in quite some time. Nicolas Cage is the elusive serial killer Longlegs, and damn, he is nightmare-inducing. A nightmare on two legs, as far as I'm concerned. But in addition to Cage, who frankly is not in the film all that much, but yet his presence is felt throughout, the movie is really anchored by Micah Monroe, who gives a riveting and complex performance as a PTSD-infused FBI agent. And I think it might be a case for her best work to date. I mean, she always turns in phenomenal performances, but this one is just on such a whole other level, and it works with the tone of this film, which is dark. It's twisted in the best ways that horror films can be, and it is completely unforgettable. This movie stays with you from the moment it starts to the moment that the lights come up at the end, and even with the passage of time, I am still finding myself transfixed by this film and the drip, drip, drip of dread that exists in every single frame. Long Legs, damn it, it is gripping, it is unsettling, it is darkly funny at points or moments where you're saying, like, hey, should I really be laughing at this and then be horrified at your reaction in the same time? There's an otherworldliness to it. It's beautifully wicked in some ways. Osgood Perkins injects satanic panic into a procedural serial killer film, and the results are not only, I think, the best horror film of this year, but the case to be made for it being one of the best horror films in recent memory. I said what I said. I love this film, and more importantly, the fact that it is number one for me of the year so far, it's a testament to this genre and the ability for there to sort of be one film that can just sort of draw from a classic like The Silence of the Lambs, but yet be bold enough to turn those tropes on its head and create something highly original, deeply satisfying, and all in all, terrifying. This is a film that I cannot get out of my mind. I look forward to seeing it again. I look forward to owning it on home video release later this year. This one I will be talking about nonstop, and I am right now, this is the film to beat. I don't want to put the cart before the horse. Joker, Folie à Deux right now, that is the only one I think that might clear Long Legs for me. I knew I would enjoy it because I love horror films, but I did not expect to enjoy this film as much as I did. It is the best of the year for me. It is my favorite film of the year so far, and God, what a year for horror. And looking at my list, I've got two horror films on the list, so not bad at this point in time. So just to recap, here are my top four so far of 2024. Number four is Immaculate. Number three is Furiosa. Number two is Dune Part Two. And number one is Long Legs. So right now, horror is the genre to beat. As I said, I'm looking forward to the rest of the year. Number of exciting films to release, including, again, my most anticipated film, Joker, Folie à Deux, which, Lord knows, I could go on about that for days on end. But right now, let me know. Do you agree with this list? What are some of your favorite films of the year so far? Drop a comment, send me a note. In any event, just go watch some movies, because, as I said, this has been an absolutely banger year for films, and I'm only expecting it to continue as we move into the latter half of the year. There's, again, a little bit of something for everybody. If horror isn't your thing, there's definitely enough to pick and choose from across all genres. But in any event, thank you as always for listening. That does it for me today. I'll be back next week, and we will certainly do this all over again for the love of movies. All copyright material used or referenced in this show belong to the rightful owners and is made possible by the Fair Use Act. Thank you for listening to Phil at the Movies.